We've all heard of Swiss bank accounts for the very wealthy, but the activist group Tax Justice Network argues in a new report the super rich and even the middle classes are now hiding at least $21 trillion in accounts outside their home countries. These tax havens or offshore banking accounts mean depositors don't have to pay taxes, be bothered by regulations, pay inheritance tax, or have to follow corporate tax rules. James Henry is on the global board of Tax Justice Network and an economist and lawyer. He's the lead researcher for the report and said the amount of money hidden in the offshore sector is now large enough to make a significant difference to all measures on equality.
Orders of magnitude here, we're talking about 10% of global wealth being off the books and untaxed, essentially, protected by this very well-equipped, sophisticated international tax haven industry, which is composed of major financial institutions, banks, accounting firms. Those are the folks in the background that kind of operate the global haven network. And, if you want an offshore company, you can go and buy one. But if you really want to have ironclad protection against the tax authorities and against being ripped off by your bankers, which is another big problem in this area, you really have to go to more sophisticated layers of protection and arrangements. We have made several efforts to get the world's financial institutions to clean up their act and also to get official institutions like the World Bank and the IMF to actually study this problem, but these estimates, to my knowledge, are the best available. No one else has been talking about this issue, and it is a major problem for the world economy right now, because there's maybe $300 to $400 billion of tax revenue that's being avoided here at a time when all the world's economies are starved for public finance.
Henry says when you take into account hidden offshore assets and the earnings they produce into account, many debtor nations are in fact revealed to be wealthy. And he says the offshore sector is designed and operated not by shady no-name banks, but by the world's private banks, law firms and accounting firms, headquartered in countries like the United States and the United Kingdom, who are helping their offshore private clients evade taxes, the very same banks that were bailed out by taxpayers.
Basically, the way the haven industry works is you have all these this kind of archipelago of small countries around the planet that decided to go into the business of being secrecy jurisdictions and providing low taxes at the same time. So, we're talking about, in the Caribbean, we have Cayman Islands and British Virgin Islands and Turks and Caicos Islands. In Latin America, you have Uruguay and Panama that are attracting offshore capital and helping to conceal it. But by now, you have about 80 of these kinds of jurisdictions around the world. But the beginning of wisdom here is to understand that these aren't places that people really want to hold any money. If you're a really serious investor, you're not going to put your money in Anguilla. What those places really provide are conduits to what I call the ultimate destinations. And those are first world countries, basically, the UK, Switzerland, the United States, where, the large financial centers are located. And all of those countries have designed their tax laws to attract offshore capital because it's not taxed when they get there. So if you're a non-resident alien, let's say that you're from Mexico and you want to have your money at Citibank in New York, the United States government doesn't tax your interest on any bonds or bank deposits that you hold here, if you're a non-resident alien. Courtesy of these same financial institutions and their lobbying over the last 30 years, this global haven archipelago has been kind of expanding. So there's a whole industry that specializes in understanding the nuances of exactly how to arrange your affairs so that you are, essentially, if you're wealthy enough, you can become a citizen of nowhere for tax purposes.
Henry says originally these tax loopholes were a business advantage for big U.S. banks.
I wrote a piece for the New Republic in April of 1986 pointing out that Citibank, while it was supposedly the largest lender to Latin America in terms of syndicated lending back in the heyday of third world lending, it had actually set up this kind of secretive operation that was called international private banking. It wasn't even in the annual reports, but it was the most profitable business at Citibank, and it specialized in basically sending bankers to Latin America, helping wealthy Latin Americans take their money out of Latin America. So the Citibank was actually a net borrower from Latin America, in the sense that once you added up the private assets it had taken out and was managing abroad tax-free for the wealthy classes of Mexico and Brazil and Venezuela and Argentina, the volume of wealth that Citibank alone had accumulated offshore was bigger than the loans that it had done.
If much of these assets are not tied to local economies, is there some sort of universal tax that could be applied to the bank's assets?
You know, you can try to clean this system up, but you're fighting law firms and accounting firms and secrecy and all these other things. Our proposal would be, and since it's heavily concentrated in these 50 financial institutions, you know, they know how much it is. They're reporting to these people on every quarter what their balance sheet is and how much their assets under management are worth. So they have about $12.3 trillion. If you just levied a 0.5% of assets per year tax on all that stuff, you'd be able to get about $60 billion. And that, since the total aid foreign aid budget of all OECD countries this year is just $89 billion, that's a step in the direction of having some kind of collective tax system. Because ultimately what we have, the reason the system exists, is because this nation-state architecture that we have for the world economy was never designed for globalization.
Henry says the bill is coming due for tax dodgers, as he says most people, and particularly small businesses who create many of a country's economy's new jobs, cannot take advantage of these tax loopholes. And the time is ripe for a new constitution for taxes in the world economy. The report can be found on the website taxjustice.net. For WBAI's Evening News, this is Rebecca Miles reporting.